All right. Well, you ready to get into the Word? Yes. We're going to continue on a series called The Pursuit of Happiness. Anybody happy here today?
Yes.
All right. Don't lie to me. All right. How many of you are a real mix? All right. A bit less vocal, but you're here. Yeah. Yeah. How many of you had just a perfect week? Just, I don't believe you. How many of you had quite a week? I did. I had just a lot, and I won't go into all that right now, but I'm here to tell you, in the middle of a lot, God will be right there with you. And you can still have a happiness as a condition on the inside, no matter what your conditions are around you. And we're going to get into that today. Say this with me, if you will. I thank you. And that's not to me. This is to God, okay? Say, I thank you.
I trust you.
This needs to be very much a part of what you breathe in and breathe out every day. That, God, I thank you. God, I trust you. And there are a number of practices even that counselors use, as a matter of fact, of breathing in with the thinking of, I thank you, and breathing out with, I trust you. And it's it's not just this little psychological trick or whatever. I think it's getting your whole self involved in this, that, all right, there's stress, there's this, there's that, but God, I thank you. What are we thanking him for? That he's good and that he's faithful. And then, God, I trust you. What do we trust him with? We trust him with the things, with everything, but especially the things that we can't do something about. And that's many things, and so we trust him. Let's go to Psalm 144, verse 15. It says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Now, this is a condition. This happiness is a condition. Happy are. And so that's what you are. This is a state of being. Happiness is to be a condition. And I'll say this again later. It's not circumstantial. It's not conditional. It's a state of being. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Quick review, everybody wants to be happy, and without exception, human beings are always in the pursuit of happiness. It is the core motivation for virtually everything you do. It's the core motivation for virtually every decision that you make. Whether you articulate it or not, or identify it, what you're trying to do is to be happy. I want this, I don't want that. I'm upset because all those things are related to your happiness. And it comes down to this. Too often, and this is the problem, too often happiness, among other things, is wrongly defined. Therefore, it's wrongly understood. And then consequently, it's wrongly pursued. So did you get that? So if it's wrongly defined, then it's wrongly understood. It will be wrongly pursued. I like to go to the grocery store, and it's a good diversion for me. I don't know. It's just kind of a happy place, and I get to pick snacks. So normally I will, hey, Alicia, I'm going to stop at the store. Anything you need? So the other day she goes, yes, get me this and a this and a this, and could you pick up some coconut water? Okay. First, I was a little offended because my last name is Gilligan. Then I realized she was serious. Coconut water. And I know where everything is in a grocery store. I don't know where coconut water is. So I looked in produce, where coconuts would be. None. Sometimes she'll have me pick up coconut milk. So I looked over in the milk. None. Then I broke it down. Coconut water. I thought, maybe it's over by the water. That's where it is. It's over by the water. So I got that for her. But here's the thing. I wasn't defining it right. I didn't understand it. Therefore, I was pursuing it wrong. And the ruin of a lot of people's lives, the damage of a lot of people's lives is we're not defining happiness properly, not understanding it properly, and then going after the wrong things. It's the wrong things that we're trying to pursue or to hunt down so that we can somehow be happy. And if you pursue the wrong things, you're going to end up damaged in some way. How many of you know I'm telling the truth on that? Amen. So the less, let me back up on this. You know this from the previous weeks. Real happiness, you should know this by now, real happiness can only be found in a relationship with God, help me out, through Jesus Christ, with the awareness of the Holy Spirit in your daily life. Now, don't just read it. Be intentional about this. Come on, everybody with me. Real happiness can only be found with a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, with the awareness of the Holy Spirit in your daily life. And the less concerned you are about happiness and the more concerned you are about pursuing God and His ways, the more happy you will be. Do not make happiness the target. Don't make that the goal. Make the goal that you're going after God and His ways. So here's the other principle for us. The pursuit of happiness is the pursuit of God and His ways. So you can't say that you're pursuing God if you're not pursuing His ways. Well, I go to church. Well, that's just one of His ways. You know, it's in your life, it's in your thoughts, it's in your relationships, it's in everything in your life. Do things God's way. The pursuit of happiness, which you got, it's driving you one way or the other, really needs to be the pursuit of God and His ways. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 8, verse 32 through 34, reading this in the New International Version. Now then, my children, listen to me. Doesn't it sound like a parent? How many of you know sometimes you have to tell your kids, listen to me. Are you listening? Are you?
Yes.
Okay. How many of you know wives, sometimes you, honey, are you listening to me? Sometimes Alicia will be saying something to me and I've already walked across the living room and the kitchen and she's in our closet. And I know it's something I need to go hear. And I'll come back. Did you say something? Yeah, it doesn't matter now. And I was all the way to Alabama. Anyway, I had a hard time listening as a kid sometimes. I might have needed medicine or something. But what my mom would do would be sometimes to just hold my face and just make me stay right there. Now listen to me. Look at me, listen to me. And so the writer here is kind of doing that for us. This is important that we get this and don't miss this. He says, now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Now, three times we have listen, listen. And that word listen is to hear, but not just to hear. It's to listen or hear to obey. It really has this meaning to us, to give full attention so you can give full obedience. To give full attention so you can give full obedience. What if I told you where you could find $1 million this afternoon? How many of you would listen to me? All right, it's most of you. I know some of you, nah, I don't do nothing for less than $5 million. Well, so glad you're here. That was my Thurston Howell III, since we're on a theme today. So if I told you, I'd say, listen to me, and I'm only going to tell you once. I'm going to tell you how to get out to this barn that not many people know about, how to get in that barn. And in that barn is a hidden locker or chest, and it has a combination lock on it, and inside of that is your $1 million. And so I'm only going to tell you once. How many of you know you'd be leaning forward? And I said, you can't write it down. You can't write it down. You would be listening. And I give you instructions to do all that. And the hardest part would be the combination on the lock, you know, to do that. But this is the kind of listening that God wants for us, that we would listen, give full attention so we could give full obedience. And what He's giving us are instructions. And He said, if you'll listen and get my instructions, twice here, He said, you'll be blessed. Everybody say blessed. And it's an exclamatory word in the Hebrew, and it actually means this: how happy. He's saying, if you really want to be, I mean happy, if you want to be happy, you've got to listen, and then not just, okay, I heard you, but you're listening in such a way that you're going to follow through on that. This is such a key to our happiness. Now, there are instructions and guidelines in God's word for us that are, get this, both spiritual and practical. So there's instructions for us. They're spiritual and practical. You really can't even separate them. They go hand in glove. Spiritual and practical, that if you'll consistently follow these guidelines, these instructions, it's going to produce and enhance and preserve happiness in your life. And so today, I want to give you two of what I would call the biggies. These are biggies. You can start operating in these today, and in about 6 to 8 weeks, you'll start to feel happy just a little bit. No, I'm talking about today. Today, this can start to be life-changing for you. But you want to consistently operate in these. Now, next week, which will be the last week of this series, I'm going to give you a list, and we're going to plow through some things. So if you're not a note taker, next week you'll want to be one, okay? So you can dive in on this, because God has made a way. He's given us instructions. He's given us guidelines that if we'll consistently follow them, we can have that godly happiness in our life. Amen? Happiness, first of all, is not constant giddiness and just throw your head back laughter and joyful and euphoric. Now, that would be one measure of happiness, but I'm glad that that's not the full measure of happiness, because I'm not that way all the time. Are you? Obviously not. And I meet some people, and every time I see them, they're like, and I worry about them. Because what goes up? Yeah. So there's a spectrum. There's a whole range. Here, this might help you to understand a little bit. Go ahead and pull up that slide, if you will. Do y'all know what these are? Okay. And how many of you know the range of this would go way more to the left and way more to the right to kind of describe what happiness is? And so we have joy, we have calm, we have peace, we have all different levels of that. And not just that this would be on your face, but this would be in your heart and your soul. I'm aware and I'm working on it. My resting face is grumpy, but I'm not grumpy, you know? And so I have people sometimes say, I saw you in traffic. I go, stalker. You didn't look happy. And then that wasn't me, because I'm happy. But you know, sometimes our face may not always show up. Be aware of that. I'm working on that. You work on it, please. Okay? But let me show you the opposite. Bring up the other slide, if you will. And we have a whole range of unhappy. You know, everything from mad to sad to gloomy to whatever else. And we've got to realize, get this, you can be happy. You can go ahead and get rid of those, because it's making people sad. You can be happy to have this condition, this state of happiness, and things still might be challenging in your life. You still might have problems, setbacks, failure, attack, whatever it would be, and you can still have as a condition on the inside, you can have this happiness. It's important for us to know that. You're still going to have moments and ups and downs and so forth. But if you'll consistently live, no matter what's going on, because we're still on earth, we're still living life, if we'll consistently live by the guidelines from Scripture that I'm sharing with you, here's at least three things that will happen. Number one, you can recover more quickly. You can recover. How many of you know it's important to recover? You know, some people, one thing happened, and 14 years later, they're still dragging around about that. And we've got to recover. We've got to recover. Which relates to the second thing, too, that you can avoid the pains of sadness holding you. You don't want to be held by sadness. I'm probably say this later again in the message. We've got to get back up. Something gets you down, you got to get back up. Listen to me. You got to get back up. We have a little principle around here. We put it this way. I'm either up or I'm getting up. Okay? The enemy wants to hold you down. And so don't let things just hold you down. If you practice consistently these guidelines, you can recover more quickly. You can avoid the pains of sadness holding you. And the third thing is this, you can live more happy. You can live more happy even though we've got challenges, ups and downs and so forth in our life. Are y'all with me? Happiness is available, but happiness is not automatic. We have a part to play. We participate in this. And as I said earlier, happiness is not conditional. It's not circumstantial. Happiness is not based on happenings. Happiness is a condition as we have relationship and cooperate with God. So I promised you two biggies. Let's hit those real quick. First of all, first biggie is gratitude. Come on, everybody say it. Now, I teach on this. I work this into probably, don't tell anybody, but I work this into just about every series because of how important this is. Gratitude, that you would give thanks. This is one of the biggies that we have to practice in our life if you even have a chance of being happy. I've told you this over and over before too. The secret sauce of the happy, healthy Christian life is gratitude. Gratitude is the secret sauce. So to all beef patties, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. What's missing? Secret sauce. Do y'all even know what I'm talking about? Secret sauce, you know? And so I can have my two all beef patties, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, pickles on a sesame seed bun. And you pick that thing up and eat it, and it's like something's missing. Well, that's a lot of our lives. And I want to tell you what's missing. It's the secret sauce. And the secret sauce is gratitude. We've got to have that in our lives. Gratitude is the heart of happiness. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 and 48. It says, because you, say that's me, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart, help me, in gratitude for what? For the abundance of all with which he has blessed you, therefore you shall serve your enemies. All right, let's look at this. Apparently, God holds us responsible for our emotions. And he said, because you served, but you did not serve me with joyfulness of mind and gratitude of heart, for what? For the abundance of all that I've done for you. He said, if that's not going to work for you, then how about we try this one? You can just serve your enemy sin. So if we don't hold on to and work toward having joy and gladness, which is part of the range of this happiness, if we don't have that in our heart, for what? Out of gratitude of how good, has God been good to you? No, for real, has God been good to you? Let's start down at the foundational level. I know how much I have received, and I know how little I deserve. We can just start right there. And every day, God's mercies are new. And he protects us, and he guides us, and he blesses us, and he helps us, and on and on and on and on and on I could go. And we've got to realize God has been good to me. How dare we drag around, strut around, or anything in between, acting like I'm just living my life. God has been good to you. And the button, the lever, the whatever that you need to have in your life is gratitude, that you're giving thanks, you're expressing thanks to God. Otherwise, he said, you can serve your enemies if you want. I do not want to serve my enemies. Amen. A lack of gratitude leads to a lack of joy. It leads to a lack of gladness, and it leads to trouble. And it all has to do with gratitude and focus. Those two work together, gratitude and focus. I would say that gratitude and focus are like the tag team for happiness. They're the power twins that work together. Listen to this. When you focus on what's missing and what's broken and what's wrong and who slighted you and this went south. And when you do that, when you focus on all of that, you're going to be unhappy and discontent. Amen. I promise you, So in any situation, you're going to have that option, though. In any situation, you're going to have that opportunity to focus in on what's wrong and what's messed up and who did you wrong and what you wish you had, what you wish you didn't have, and all of those things. And I promise you, it will only lead. Your focus now will kick gratitude backwards. And the only thing it will do is make you unhappy, mad, and discontent. But when you focus, are y'all focused? All right. When you focus on what God has done, what God is doing, what you know God will do, when you start to focus just on the spiritual things and the practical things, natural things all around you, when you focus on what God's doing, I'm going to tell you what will happen. Peace comes, quiet comes, confidence comes, happiness comes, gladness comes. All of those things start to rise on the inside of you. Your focus matters. Your problem is not your focus. Your focus is not on your problem. Your problem is your focus. And we've got to make sure that our focus is in the right place. And when we focus on the right place, we're not denying that something's gone wrong. We're not denying that there are problems, pressures, and setbacks. What we're doing is choosing to focus on the God who is greater than those things and on his goodness, which is greater than those things. I call it staying on the right side of the butt. For those of you that are new, that's spelt B-U-T. That we stay on the right side of the butt. And it has to do with how we frame this. You know, it's like, well, I know God will provide all my needs, but I've got this, and that. You are on the wrong side of the butt. So what you've got to do is flip all of that. This is going on, that's going on, I don't have, but my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. It's a focus thing. It's a focus, and you're going to end up either discontent and unhappy or encouraged and happy. It also keeps you aware of God's active presence and goodness in your life. And you need to know God is, look at me, church, he is actively present. He is actively good in your life. And when you focus on that and give him thanks for that, express that gratitude, that helps you. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, for here we have no continuing city, but seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, which is the fruit of our lips. Notice that phrase, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips is a way of saying the speaking mouth, what the mouth does. And the fruit of your lips is what you say. And here it says we're to continually be offering what is called the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, which is giving thanks, giving thanks. So here's the principle on this. Listen, don't just think your thanks. Don't just think your thanks. Husbands and wives, how many of you know that will not go well if you only think your thanks? You know, and your wife, I thank my wife, and I'm not like giving me this. I'm just truly grateful. Every time she does laundry, I say, thank you for clean clothes. Now, sometimes she'll say, hey, babe, all your stuff's on top of the dryer. And that's all right. I get there, it's clean, and it's folded. And guess who's grateful? Guess who's grateful? Some of you guys need to start doing your own laundry, okay? But I'm grateful and say, hey, babe, thank you for clean clothes. We need to just express it. Thank it, not just think it, especially with God. Don't just think your thanks. Slow down, count it out. Thank God for, how many of you are thankful for clean water? Amen. All right. Take a shower. How many of you are thankful for hot water? All right. How many of you are thankful you got some clothes? We are too. How many of you are going to get to eat today? I mean, I could go on and on and on of those things. How many of you are thankful that your sins are forgiven? All right. Hey, anybody? You're thankful that God forgave you. How many of you are thankful that God doesn't bring it back up again, keep bringing it back up again? We got a lot of scripture on that. How many of you are thankful his mercies are new every day? That he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're the apple of his eye. He is with you. He's ahead of you. He's in you. He's behind you. He surrounds you with favor like a shield. God is pretty active. God is pretty present. We need to be pretty thankful. And it reminds us that he's actively present. Don't just think your thanks. Tell him. Speak it out. Your second biggie, real quick. First one, gratitude. The second one is this. Believe. Believe. Here's another word for it. I really like this. Trust. Trust. That you put your trust in God. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That's on that spectrum of happiness. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Romans 15, 13, same verse in the New Living Translation. Listen to this. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you what? Because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's to trust God. And when we trust God, this is when we stop trying to handle it all on our own, carry it all on our own, hold it up on our own, keep it juggling so it doesn't hit the floor. And when we just finally say, God, I trust you. Because I'm telling you what, it will do you well to just say, God, I trust you. And here's the thing. You need to speak this out too. This is not something you're quiet about, that just in your heart and your mind that you decide you're going to trust God. I think you need to come out of your quiet self and sign for it. How many of you know we got to sign things now, and it's, you know, they said just use your finger, and do y'all get out at all? Okay. You just sign, and it never looks like your signature. The other day, I just wrote Willy Wonka. Sometimes I do Mickey Mouse. Thurston Howell III. Who's to know? It doesn't look... But here's the thing. You've got to come and sign for it or it's not complete. And I think kind of the way that we come out and sign that God, I trust you, is to tell him. It's just to tell him, God, I trust you with this. And again, stay on the right side of the butt. God, this is going on. I don't know what to do with this, but I trust you. And I'm going to tell you something. You pay attention to your soul. When you do that from the heart to God, you're going to sense already something happening on the inside to know, God, I trust you. There's a relief. There's a joy that starts to rise up on the inside of you. Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, or how happy is the man, the person who trusts in him. Blessed. How happy when we put our trust in him. Part of putting our trust in God, as I just told you, is to tell him. So let's just practice it here one time. I've got it on the screen for you. It's coming on the screen. Come on, ready? I trust you. One more. Let's practice one more time. I trust you. Does everybody have it memorized? Okay, take it off the screen. Let's practice it one more time. Make sure you got it. Ready? I trust you. And when you're feeling stress, when you're feeling problems, when you realize, oh, wow, this is going on or whatever, you just need to say, God, I trust you, and let him know that. Now, these are two of the biggies of the list of instructions and guidelines. Next week, I'm going to give you a pretty complete list, but let me wrap up with this today. Psalm 116, verse 7. Read it carefully, and it says, return to your rest. Who? Who's he talking to? Himself. Return to your rest, O my soul, for or because the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You know what he's saying? God's been good to you. You're way more blessed than you are bothered. God is greater than this. And speak to yourself and get yourself back to that place. All of this is very vocal. Your gratitude needs to be vocal. Your trust needs to be vocal. Sometimes you even talk to yourself, you know, well, where am I going to do this? Don't just do this in front of anybody. Don't gather, you know, three people in the middle of the grocery store. Could you all gather around? I want to tell you something. Jesus said, don't cast your pearl, thing of great value, before swine. Not calling people pigs. Just saying they can't appreciate the value of what you're handling right here. People take smoke breaks and coffee breaks and everything else. You might need to go take a little happy break and go out and express to God your gratitude. Express to God, I trust you. Get your soul back in the right place and say, soul, return to your rest. What is that rest? It's happiness. It's at the core of your happiness. Get back to that place. How can I do it? Because the Lord has been good to you. This is not cliche, but don't stay down. We said it earlier. I'm either up or I'm getting up. You need to realize that gratitude and trust, they're going to flow from an awareness that God is faithful and God is good in your life. Amen. Hear this again. You got struggles. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have things that stress you out. What do we do with that? Well, just stay stressed out. Find other coping mechanisms. Please do not. When Almighty God has given you all the help you need for everything you need in life and godliness, part of that close relationship, real happiness flows out of that relationship with Him, is to let Him know, I trust you and I thank you. So say this with me as we finish here. I thank you. I trust you. Say it again. God, I thank you. God, I trust you. I was in a situation the other day, and I'm not going to go into it right now. I was feeling it very heavy in my heart. The strain and the stress of it was pretty heavy. And I'm praying, I'm working, I'm doing everything I knew to do to help, and it didn't seem like anything was helping. And I was in a parking lot at a place, and I was going back to my car to get something, and I just took a moment and said, God, I thank you. And I thanked Him for a few things, and I said, God, I trust you. Later, I just prayed out a little more some of the specifics that I was trusting Him for. And it doesn't always happen in this time frame, but within about a day, day and a half or so, what I was trusting Him for came to be. But, in the meantime, I wasn't miserable. I was able to have that holding happiness in the middle of who I am, because happiness is a condition. We've got circumstances. We've got stuff all around us. But you want to make sure on the inside you've got that happiness that comes from thanking Him and trusting Him. Amen? Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? All right. Thank you, Lord.